Our scripture passage for this morning comes from the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. I'm going to be reading the first nine verses. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. This is a letter that Paul wrote and had such a unique and dynamic relationship with that he wrote at least two letters, and most scholars think that 2 Corinthians is probably the portion of a couple of different letters. So Paul was very interested in this church and very worried about this church because it was such an important presence in the Christian community, the very earliest Christian community. Corinth sat on what was called an isthmus, and if you have ever been in geography class, I'd love to see if I could get Kate up here or Isabel to describe what an isthmus is. But if you can imagine land forming like an hourglass sort of figure and coming to a narrow stretch of land, Corinth lay on that narrow stretch of land in a very important part of Greece. And it was an important commercial center for all of the empire. And ships came from the east and ships came from the west. And land and goods came down south and made their way to this port that stood at the edge of two very important bodies of water. And so this church, which was very cosmopolitan, it was very mixed in terms of people traveling from other cultures and other places, and merchants from other empires were all traveling, and they found their way to Corinth, and they formed this unique little church, one of the earliest churches, one of the founding churches of Christianity. And so Paul writes this letter to the Corinthian church, probably about three or four years after he had founded the church. He's no longer with them, and he's heard some of the things that are going on with them, and he writes the words that I'm about to read to you. So turn with me, if you will, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in Him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By Him you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. These are the words of God, and they are for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So I have a question for you. Have you ever had to place your trust in something that you were not fully convinced of? Anyone who's ever been a parent, anyone who has been my parent, has done that. Anybody who's ever rooted for a sports team has placed their trust in something that they were not fully convinced of. And that's essentially what Paul is doing here in this passage. He is placing his trust in this church that has a number of issues and a number of concerns that come up in the later part of the story of the Corinthian church, the letter to the Corinthian church. All of those issues come out as you read this letter, but at the very beginning of the letter, Paul doesn't start off by saying, "I'm just not sure what's going to become of you." He doesn't start off by saying, hey, you guys have got some serious problems here, and you've got some divisions among you, and I'm just not so sure that you're going to survive. That's not Paul's opening comments to the Corinthian church. Paul starts off by saying, I give thanks to God for you. I give thanks to God for you. Because I believe that God can do great things through you. I believe that God has gifted you with all of the things that you need to accomplish the task that is before you. He starts off with that statement of faith. He starts off with that sense of trust in the Corinthian church and what it was that they had before them as this great and very important church in early Christianity. Paul had no idea when he wrote this letter to the Corinthians how important a church they were going to be as a founding church for the Christian faith. Paul had no idea when he dealt with their issues of spiritual gifts and all of the challenges that were facing that church, that they would work their way through those challenges, that they would work their way through those divisions, and they would find their way to being a central and important church in early Christianity. And to add on to the amount of faith that Paul is placing in this collection of churches, Paul is writing this letter to the Corinthians somewhere around 54 AD, scholars believe, 20 years before there's a Gospel of Mark to read. 20 years before the other gospel writers begin their process of their collection of stories about Jesus that become Matthew and become Luke. 30 and 35 years before the Gospel of John is written. Before the church has cemented the idea that they are not going to be influenced by the Judaizers who want all of the people who have become converts to Christian faith to first be circumcised. Would you have liked to do that if you were a man? The Judaizers thought that you had to do that in order to be a faithful Christian. They thought you had to be circumcised first and you had to follow all of the ways of the law that was laid out in the Old Testament. And as you did that, you became a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. Before any of those issues are settled in the church, Paul writes this letter to the Corinthians and says, every gift that is needed for being the church of Christ is within you. Can you imagine the power that came from Paul saying those words first? You and I walk through our lives, and if we're really honest with ourselves, we're a mixture of confidence and concern. There are things that we are confident in. There are things that we feel like we have the ability to accomplish. And there are things that we look at our own lives and our own limitations and we say, I just can't do that. I'm just not able to do that. That's something that is beyond me to be able to accomplish. But can you imagine in the midst of and in the mix of all of those things that are a part of our lives, hearing somebody that you love and respect looking you in the eyes and saying, everything that you need to be what God has called you to be is present within you. Paul says that to the Corinthian church. Paul did not know the challenges that were out there in front of them. Paul did not know the future that stood out in front of the Corinthian church. He was convinced not only of the gifts that were present with them, he was convinced of the power of God to accomplish God's purposes in their life together. Now that's important stuff for us to listen to. That's important stuff for us to listen to in our own personal life. I would have never guessed that when my daughter was 4 years old and loved to sing, that she was going to turn out to be the one of the leaders in our worship service. I would have never guessed that she was going to sing at Carnegie Hall. But she is. I would have never guessed when I woke up early in the morning, every morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, with this fidgety new son that I had, living in that little 2-bedroom condo that we lived in when we first moved to Daytona Beach, and I had to walk with Cade around Warner Christian Academy every single morning, their parking lot, I would have never guessed that he would be running cross country in the state championship. I would have never guessed that. You would have said, hey, I trust, and I'm telling you right now that all of the gifts that were needed for God to accomplish God's purposes in the life of your children are already there, and they're already a part of their lives. I would have said, are you sure? But they were there. And now I want you to hear that as Central Baptist Church. We have memories. We look back and we remember churches filled with people who have gone on and have passed into another realm. We remember our pews filled with people whom we loved and whom we cared for, who are not here with us. We have memories of times of great accomplishment and great purpose in the life of our church. We have those memories and we hold them and we hold them near and dear. And we look around and instead of a lot of a brown hair, we see a lot of silver hair. Let's be honest, right? And we may say to ourselves, I'm just not sure that we can accomplish what God has given us as a purpose. I'm just not sure that we can be the downtown church and be ministers to all of the people that come into our midst. I mean, we only have so much talent and we only have so much ability. We only have so much energy. Can we live into that call? Can we live into that purpose that God has laid out before us? And I know that I'm not Paul, but I'm telling you what the Scripture says. All of the gifts and all of the talents and all of the energy that is needed for us to accomplish what God's purposes are for us are present in our faith community. And here's good news. The Corinthian church was not closed off by four walls. Whoever's here, this is all that we have and this is all that we can use to accomplish God's purposes. As they sought as a community to live out God's purposes in their life, as they lived out being the presence of Christ in the world, as they made choices to branch off and utilize the gifts and the talents that God had given to them as a church, people began to watch and see the difference that they were making in that city. People began to watch and see the difference that they were making in each other's lives. They weren't perfect by any stretch of the imagination. But people saw that they were committed to being the hands and the feet of Christ in the world. And the gifts that might not have been present at one point began to show up, and people began to offer what they had to offer. And the church began to live into God's kingdom purposes for them. And I have good news for you, Central Baptist Church. God has purposes for us. God has things that are laid out in our future. God has things for us to accomplish. And if they don't seem impossible, they might not be God things. And all that is needed is us saying with our gifts and with our talents, we are going to set about the task of discerning what God is up to. And we're going to go there. And we're going to trust that God is going to gift us every step of the way with who we need to be on board with us. That's what the Corinthians did. They began to add their talents of teaching and add their gifts of exhortation and add their gifts and their resources. And sure enough, slowly but surely, God began to add to their numbers. And they lived into God's purposes for them. And the same thing will happen for us. I don't remember the book very well, but I remember reading the book Stone Soup. You ever remember that book? When I got into college, one of my psychology classes asked us to go watch this movie called Stone Soup, and I thought, oh, it'll be a little cartoon of the book that I read. It was a documentary about people who are living on the Lower East Side of Manhattan, a very impoverished area at that point in time. And how they were trying to build relationships with people who had some income and those who were homeless and those who were near homelessness. And so they got this rock that was from a building that was beginning to crumble. They got this rock and they got this pot. And somebody added the rock into the pot. And they started walking with the pot and asking what people could offer to help them to make soup for the entire community. And they made their way from door to door. And some people said, all I got is a can of this and all I got is a few of these. And they said, just throw it in. And little by little, they invited people to walk out of their doors and to follow them around with this big old gaping pot of soup. And they gathered together in an abandoned lot and put that pot over a bonfire and cooked, and all of the people there with all of the little things that they had offered shared soup together. Our soup is what God seeks to accomplish through us in the world. Can we take our couple of green beans and our few bean sprouts and our half-eaten roast, and can we put it in the pot? Stir it with God's presence and be God's church. Be the presence of Christ in the community, inviting others to bring their talents and their gifts to bear. Yes, we can. That's all the church has ever done when it has been the church of Jesus Christ. May it be so for us, as it was for the Corinthian church, as it was for those who shared stone soup together. Let us pray. God, we are grateful for each of the individual talents that we have to offer. And we're grateful that in the presence of Central Baptist Church here in the community, in the presence of all the churches that surround our congregation, you have gifted us with all that is needed. We pray that as your people, maybe we've been in the church for 50 years and we have one thing to offer. Let us offer that one thing. Maybe we're visiting Central and we're kind of exploring what might be up here at this church. May we respond faithfully and give what it is that we have to give. For you have promised us that with you, what we have is enough. May we learn to trust that. May we learn to live into that with all that we have to offer. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.